Those who have lived in Rhinelander for a long time might agree that in the 1950s, it was a different place than it is today. Kids roamed slightly freer, and there were less concerns about mysterious strangers. Bill Vankus is the president of the Rhinelander Historical Society Museum, and he says from personal experience, everything was just a little simpler back then.
If you watch, you know, the old Leave It to Beaver shows or something like that, that's what Rhinelander was. You know, people watched out for each other's children. Today, I think parents would probably be brought up on charges if they did with what you know, our parents did back then.
Vankus was just a kid in Rhinelander in the 1950s, but something he vividly remembers about that time are the remnants of what was known as Rhinelander's hobo jungle.
I can remember we would walk those tracks and we would see maybe some branches, you know, on an angle, like somebody might have, you know, got out of the elements with, and we'd see the remnants of a fire. And we would even find little cans of, like, beans, and they'd be blacked on the bottom.
While today, the word hobo is often used interchangeably with the word bum, hobos in the era of the Great Depression in the 1920s and 30s weren't bums. They were people traveling wherever there was work.
The hobo that we're talking about really was not a freeloader, you know, person that was just out looking for handouts. They were looking for a meal, obviously. They were willing to work for it if they could.
It was estimated that 4 million men traveled around looking for work like this. Rhinelander's hobo jungle was in the area known as the Hollow, near the old Sportsman Cafe, what's now known as the Dinky Diner.
That was called Hungry Hollow in the old days. But that was the crossing of the Chicago Northwestern and the Soo Line Railroad. Not just Rhinelander, but almost anywhere, your chances of finding a hobo village was much increased simply because that was a way that they might be able to change directions if they were heading in a certain area.
Bill Vankus knows a lot about the history of the hobo jungle in Rhinelander because for the last few weeks, he's been interviewing people who have stories from that time period in Rhinelander's history. It's in preparation for an event this Saturday at ArtStart Rhinelander. Vankus says that even though the Great Depression was a hard time for a lot of people, the stories he's been hearing about Rhinelander's hobo jungle have mostly been humorous, like the story of June Thiel, who's from Rhinelander but met her husband John in Chicago.
Well, John lived his whole life in Chicago, so he comes up to meet her family for the first time. And June's father had a habit of providing food for the people if they would stop. So it's a Saturday morning, and John is here, and he's nervous. He's just meeting the family, and he's sitting down, and June's dad starts to make breakfast. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and June's dad goes to the door, and it was still a little dark. So he didn't want to just have the guy eat out on the porch, so he invites him in for breakfast. And to hear June tell the story about how John's eyes got so big, you know, because this is his first visit to the Northwoods. And so hopefully June will be there and be able to share that.
How does one know which house to knock on when traveling to a new city for the first time, though? It all has to do with the hobo code. In addition to hearing stories Saturday at ArtStart, there will also be a discussion of historic hobo symbols, symbols that hobos use to tell other hobos where there were opportunities and dangers. For instance, a symbol that indicates man with a gun might warn someone to stay away from a house, while a symbol that indicates food here would tip off a new traveler that this is the right house to knock on. Hobo symbols are a big part of the current art exhibit at ArtStart by artist David Hamlow. If you haven't seen Dark Erin yet, Saturday is your last chance. It's a blacklight exhibit, so all you see when you walk in is darkness and colorful symbols and objects made from recycled materials. There's also a soundtrack for the exhibit by musician Nathan Tolzman, which you're hearing right now. The artist, David Hamlow, says hobos used the symbols rather than language for a lot of reasons back then, one of which was to keep their communication with one another secret.
You don't necessarily want the town that you're entering to know that you're thinking or talking that way about them. And this is a way to be able to convey that information without having to use language, like written language, that other people could recognize.
Hamlow also says these symbols bring to mind the national conversations happening right now about migrant workers.
And the kind of opportunities and dangers that the hobo faced are still faced by people who don't have a permanent home and are kind of living in a world that's outside of established culture, but dependent on it in some way.
Bill Vankus says he's sure Rhinelander would have been full of symbols indicating to hobos back then that it was a good town to stop in. He says one of Rhinelander's first police chiefs, Morris Straub, was instrumental in making it a tolerant place for hobos. You can hear more about Rhinelander's Hobo Jungle Saturday, January 12th at ArtStart Rhinelander from 4 until 6 p.m. This event is also your last chance to see the art exhibit Dark Airing by David Hamlow. More information on the event and exhibit can be found at artstartrhinelander.org and wxpr.org. Mackenzie Martin, WXPR News.